Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Paul Goldner. He's been with us before. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's an entrepreneur and a sales professional. He started and built two successful companies. As I said earlier in the hour, one from absolutely zero, one desk, one chair, one phone, one partner, and himself, and which means they didn't have enough to go around. He built that up to a $100 million company and sold the business. He's now an author and a speaker, as I mentioned, and a sales trainer. His book, Red Hot Customers, is brand new, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them, which we covered last time Paul was with us. But his other book, which is one of the top five sales books in the world, Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off, by Paul Goldner. We're going to talk about that today. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. How's it going?
It's great. It's going great, and I'm glad to have you back with us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join us, if you have a question or comment for me or for Paul, 888-822-8255. James Pearson is on the board. He's the best, and he'll take your call and put you right through. 888-822-8255. Paul, your book is called Red Hot Cold Call Selling. Now, my audience, those who've been listening to me for a long time, they've heard me cover a lot of salesmanship shows. We've done a lot of salesmanship shows on the show, and they've heard me say that I don't like cold calling, that I think it can be very unproductive. Why did you write a whole book on cold calling?
Well, it's kind of simple. When I started my first business in 1983, and I think we talked about this on the last show, we had only one desk, one chair, and one telephone, and my partner and I used to fight every day who was going to get the the chair so they could sit next to the telephone and take all the orders as they came in.
All the orders that were going to roll in the first day.
Absolutely. And, yeah. And quite frankly, we were actually in the right place at the right time. We were in the computer training business in 1983, which if you think back a little bit, that's when really the personal computer just started getting popular and all the software packages just started getting popular.
That's when I bought my first Macintosh.
Yeah, so actually we were in the right proverbial right place at the right time. And even in spite of all of that, nothing was going on for us. So our $3,000 ran out, and we decided we have to do something about it. And that's when we decided to pick up the telephone. And it was kind of interesting because I found that you can pretty much get anything you want if you just pick up the telephone and make a few phone calls.
Yeah. You know, I agree with that. And I've had people to say, how did you get so-and-so on your show? You know, some of my friends would say, who'd you have on your show today? And I'd tell them, and they'd say, how did you get him or her or whatever? I'd say, I just picked up the phone and asked.
Yeah, so that's kind of my philosophy behind cold calls. You're going to be, people always say, well, I build my business through networking, and quite honestly, I build my business through networking as well. I think cold calls has got to be part of the process if you want to grow your business really fast.
One of the things I want to point out, though, and again, I warned my audience. I told them last week when I told them you were coming that I was going to be a little bit of the devil's advocate today on the cold calling thing, and so I'm going to start that right now by saying that I wanted to remind my audience about what the circumstances were when you began cold calling back in '83. The circumstances were desperate.
Well, they were desperate because I let them get desperate.
Okay, well, all right, but you're making my point. What I'm saying is, if you're cold calling, and you cold calling because it's part of your strategy, that's one thing. But check your position. It might be because you haven't got the right business model, or you aren't working your plan well. Would you agree with that?
Well, we didn't actually have a plan back then, and so that was part of the problem. Is we thought that all you had to do to be successful in business was just open up a shop and
right.
have a good idea, and it didn't quite work out that way.
Open the front door and get out of the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Just don't get run over by the customers.
Absolutely. And we actually had visions of that, or delusions. I'm not sure what you call them.
No, I understand it. I think there are a lot of people out there listening who probably are nodding their head and saying, you mean that's not how it works?
Nope, that's not how it works. And I've learned that the hard way. And that's actually why I wrote the book, to try to show people that you're going to be a lot more successful if you're proactive than you are if you're reactive.
Absolutely. All right. Talk to us about Chapter 7, Anatomy of a Cold Call.
Well, this is one of the great secrets of cold call selling, because cold call selling has such a negative connotation. When people actually pick up the telephone, You know, they're always afraid that somebody's going to hang up on them or be rude to them. And so the general approach to cold calling is to say as much as you can, as fast as you can, and really hope that the person on the other end is going to find something of interest in what you said, and then they're going to want to talk to you.
Okay, now you're talking, it sounds like you're talking about a phone call, cold call.
Phone call, yeah.
Yeah.
That to me is the most productive way to do it.
Okay.
The reason being is, you know, if someone were to walk into your office, and this I'm speaking to actually all of your listeners out there, if someone were to walk into your office unannounced, what would you do? Would you drop what you were doing and immediately run out and spend an hour with them?
I don't like that myself.
Yeah, so my feeling is that you really want to spend time on the phone setting up your appointments, and then once you go out, then you have confirmed appointments out there, and that's going to be a lot more productive.
Okay. You and I are singing off the same page then, because there are people who, when you say cold calling, they think of going out and knocking on the door and saying, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?"
That's one way to do it, but I've always argued that you're going to be a lot more productive. And interestingly enough, last year in 1998, I trained the entire North American sales force of British Airways on how to do cold call selling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started with them, what they were doing was actually going literally door-to-door and introducing themselves. And British Airways actually has a great name, so they mm-hmm. can almost get away with it.
Right.
But what we did was we redesigned the whole thing so that they first took the time to define their target market, which is one of the chapters that we talk about in the book.
Right.
And then once they did that, they made all of their appointments by telephone. And as a result of that process, they attributed roughly $20 million in incremental sales in 1998 to this cold calling process. So it actually does work.
Absolutely. No, well, I agree with you. And of course, now you're saying some of the things that I've been saying on the show before, and that is when you want to make an appointment, when you want to get an appointment with someone, when you want to go out and see someone, if you're selling something that you have to go see them face to face to sell, you need to start out with a phone call with an appointment.
Yep. And
I agree with you. Now, one of the things that happens when people do that is they get into this habit, or they lapse into this what I consider to be a mistake of trying to sell what they have to sell over the phone instead of just doing what they're supposed to be doing on the phone, and that's just getting the appointment.
That's a huge mistake.
Closing for the appointment.
And you hit the nail on the head. We'll talk about it, I guess, when we get back.
Yeah, good for you. Stand by, Paul. Yeah, we're going to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to get Paul to tell us how to close for the appointment on the phone. We'll be right back, 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 24 after, and you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the people who helps us do that is Paul S. Goldner, the author of Red Hot Customers, which is his new book, and another book that's been out for 5 years and it's still available on newsstands, Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off. Paul, tell us where these books are available.
Well, the books can be gotten in a couple of places. Number one, you can get them from Amazon.com. Number two, you can get them from your local bookstore. Number three, you can order them directly through us if you wanted an autographed copy. And our toll-free number is 888-HOT-HOT-3.
All right. Is there a website?
And our website, redhotsales.com.
Okay. And, of course, there's no telling in just a few years how much that signature will be worth, right, Paul?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that having an autographed copy, I mean, that could skyrocket through the roof.
I just did a keynote address on Saturday in Los Angeles, and I had to sign 200 copies of my new book.
Wow.
That's a lot of work.
Absolutely. The book is $16.95, and what's the new one? What's the price of the new one?
Both of them are $16.95.
$16.95, and with the signature, probably worth at least $17.25. So you might want to go ahead and go for that.
Absolutely.
Paul, we're talking about cold calling, and your definition of cold calling, maybe, or at least the one you recommend, is picking up the phone and making a cold call for an appointment.
But my definition of cold calling is also a little bit different. Most people, when they think of cold calling, they always think of picking up the phone and calling a complete stranger, and that's certainly part of the process. But when I do cold calls, to me a cold call is simply a call to any individual or company with whom you are not doing business currently.
Right.
So to me, That could be if you've called somebody 10 times but you haven't made any progress, that's still a cold call.
Okay, now we've dialed the phone, the phone's ringing, and someone on the other end answers the phone, but it's not the person that you're going to be selling to. What happens?
Well, it depends who it is. If it's actually just a wrong person, which can happen a lot of times, obviously you want to get, you know, you want to ask to be transferred to whoever the proper person is.
Right.
And if it's a gatekeeper, if you want to see if you can get through to the actual decision maker. And my approach, quite honestly, is an honest one. I always tell them exactly why I'm calling and exactly what I want to accomplish and see if they could help facilitate the process for me. And very often they do.
The gatekeepers didn't get that job by being stupid. These are smart people. And they've heard it all, haven't they?
And they could be the chairman of the board of a company at some point. It could be just a starting point for them in their career. You never know.
And you never know how many times what you're selling ultimately will be decided, the purchase of which ultimately would be decided by that gatekeeper.
Could be, and that's why in the book I talk about you have to be nice to everybody out there.
Always be nice to the gatekeeper on the way in, or they'll torpedo you on the way out.
Absolutely.
And you know, one of the ways that I found to handle something like that, Paul, is with a little humor and a little bit of charm. You know, you can be nice to these people, and I always say their name.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so?
The name is a big one, and that's kind of interesting because most people or most salespeople just have a negative feeling when they think about those gatekeepers. But if you could do anything to be nice to them, and in particular remember their name, so when you call them back the second time, you could say, "Oh, hello, James," or "Oh, hello, Gene," and they get really surprised by that, and they really changes their whole approach because it did take the time to remember their name.
One of the things that I try to do, if I get a receptionist,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's a receptionist, I say, you know, ask them their name. I ask what their name is, and they tell me, and I'll say, "John, what is Mr. So-and-so's assistant's name?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well, that's Shirley Brown." "Oh, thank you very much." I always get that name, and then when Shirley answers the phone, I say, "Hello, Ms. Brown," or "Hello, Shirley," and they think they know me already.
Yep. You can go a long way with just being polite and nice.
Another thing about the gatekeeper, Paul, is if you're going to be selling a product to the same company for a long period of time, the person that he or she works for may come and go several times over that period of time, but that person may be there for a long time.
The gatekeeper may
be
there for a long time.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the contacts are there for a long time, and sometimes they both change, which is one of the things that I point out in my book. And people always say, "Well, how can you call back a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time?" And if the people are there and they're still there, then you're building up a relationship with them. And if they're not there and it's changed, you would have never known that unless you called back. So my feeling is you got to play both ends of the card there.
And being any kind of abruptness, any kind of rudeness, any kind of impatience will not get you in the door. In fact, it'll absolutely typically assure that you will never get in the door.
And you know where a lot of that comes from?
Where?
It's kind of interesting because the real great secret to cold calling is just to make lots of calls. And what really happens is a lot of people aren't making enough calls, so they get very frustrated with the ones that they are making because they're not working out for them.
It is a numbers game, and we're going to talk about that just a little bit more when we come back after the next break. Then we're going to talk about something called handling objections. Have you ever tried that?
Absolutely.
You better get good at it because you're going to have to know how to do that. You're going to have to know how to handle objections. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Paul Goldner is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Red Hot Customers, and that's one book. The second book is Red Hot Cold Call Selling. Red Hot Customers is the new one. Both of them are available online. And, Paul, you give us your 800 number again and your website.
It's 888-HOT-HOT-3, and that's our 800 number. And then our website is www.redhotsales.com.
Okay. Now, let's get a little bit further into this cold call that we're making to set up an appointment. Now, remember, folks, the purpose of this cold call, which we're doing on the phone, is not to this particular one, Paul, if I'm not mistaken, is not to sell anything except an appointment.
Well, there are actually two types of cold calls. There are businesses out there, like, for example, long-distance services that actually try to get you to purchase things on the phone.
Right.
And typically, when you're actually trying to sell something on the phone, it's usually like a smaller dollar value, and so the risk of purchasing isn't that high, and they don't necessarily need to meet you face-to-face.
Right.
But for the book, I spend most of my time on actually trying to get that appointment, though the principles are applicable to both, and that's what we're talking about now, is when you really pick up that phone, if you're selling a complex product or service and larger dollars are involved, your goal has got to be to get in front of a customer, because that's going to be when you're going to do your best selling. And as you were pointing out a little bit earlier, one of the biggest mistakes that people can make is just selling on the phone and not going for that appointment. And so before you even pick it up, understand completely that your objective is not to sell anything on the phone, but rather just to get face-to-face with a qualified prospect.
Well, what I like to say is that you are selling something, but it's an appointment.
You're selling an appointment.
You're closing for the appointment. You're not closing for the order, exactly,
yep.
as we've talked about. Let's go back and get back into our little role play that we're doing here, sort of a role play we're doing, and that's where we've now gotten through the receptionist and we've gotten to the gatekeeper.
Yep.
This is the secretary or this the administrative assistant or whatever you want to call this person, male, female, it doesn't matter. You're going to find both of them in today's world, both types. And this person says, yes, Paul, how are you? What would you like to talk to my boss about?
Well, in my particular case, like I said, I'm always very honest about it, seeing as how I'm selling sales training. What I always say is I'd like to talk to them about sales training and see if they have any meetings, conferences, or sales training programs planned over the next 12 months. So I'm very honest about it. The reason that I'm honest about it is because I'm making so many calls out there, and I understand that sales is a process, not an event, that my success doesn't really depend on the outcome of any one call. And that's a real big point for everybody to understand, is that sales is a process, not an event. So you're not going to pick up the phone, make 20 outbound calls, and go from struggling to meet your payroll to multimillionaire overnight.
Absolutely. And one of the things also you need to realize, Paul, and I know you talk about this in your book, and that is that from the moment that you connect with another human being on the other line, you're going to start getting objections.
Objections are just part of the process. And what I always teach people, and it's kind of amazing, when I do my sales training programs, I'll give an audience, a group full of people, a room full of people, maybe 25, 30 people, and I'll say, okay, take all the time you want, come up with all the objections that you can on the telephone or all the objections you can face-to-face. And generally what you'll find is that 80 to 90 to 95% of the objections can be summarized in really two or three statements. So what I like to point out to everybody believes there's hundreds and thousands and millions of objections out there, and there really aren't. You could probably say that over the course of a year, you're going to hear maybe two or three different objections 80 to 95% of the time, and then the remaining 5%, you're going to hear something that might be a little bit new.
And most of the time, it's just a variation on one of the others.
Most of the times, it's just a variation, and so you have to get adept at really listening to the customers. And what I always teach people is that if you're hearing the same things over and over and over again, why do they take you by surprise? So when you call somebody up and you're selling sales training, for example, and they say, well, we already have sales training, most people say, oh, I'm sorry I called, sorry to bother you. But, you know, my feeling is that if you've heard that 5,000 times throughout the year, you're going to be a lot better off if you have a good response to that, an appropriate response.
Let's talk about some of these objections. And then in Chapter 9 of your book, you identify some famous ones that I think is important on page 81. Famous objections. Send me literature.
Well, that happens to be the most popular objection out there. And the reason it's so popular is because it has the appearance of win-win. The customer or the prospect, they get you off the phone real fast because they told you to send them something in the mail.
I use it all the time.
And the salespeople actually feel good about it as well because they feel like they're getting further into the sales cycle by sending the information. And so I always say it has the appearance of being win-win. And what I do is I like to take that objection away from them right in my basic script. And so when I call up somebody, I would say, Mr. Jones, please. Hello, Mr. Jones. And you know, assuming I have the right person. And then I would introduce myself. This is Paul Goldner of the Sales and Performance Group. And how are you today? And then what I do is I tell them the reason I called is because I sent them something in the mail. And the reason I actually do that is because I know the most common objection that I receive is that they're going to say, send me something in the mail. And so by me saying that up front, it makes it much more difficult for them to actually use that back against me.
One of the things that I like to do, Paul, when I'm making a call like that, is to tell them up front two things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I know you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I promise this won't take long. And I found that if you tell them that, they recognize, they can see that you are conscious and considerate of their time, and you've made them a promise to start with that you won't that this won't take long. And that way, if you know what you're doing, and as you mentioned the script a minute ago, you got your script down right. If then you know what you're doing, then they might give you a few more seconds.
Absolutely, and we can talk a little bit more about that when we get back.
Yeah, we're going to do that and get into some more of these famous objections and teach you how to handle them when we come back after these messages. It's 39 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner is our special guest. He's the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling and Red Hot Customers. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I want to remind you that if you aren't able to hear the entire show today, or for whatever reason you're not able to pick up the show in any particular day, or you know someone who is not able to hear the show on the radio, as hard as that might be to believe that we're not available everywhere for some reason, but we're working on that. But you can go to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and not only hear the show live over the internet, but you can hear today's show rebroadcast on demand 24 hours a day until it's replaced with tomorrow's show. So check that out if you get a chance. Paul Goldner is our special guest, and he's the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling, which is the book we're talking about now. He's also the author of Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them, which we covered the last time he was on the show. And there's a lot more good stuff in here to talk about. We're going to continue our discussion, Paul, about some of the famous objections that we've gotten. This particular conversation, folks, is about how to get through to the decision maker on the phone to make an appointment. Now, but you know, I just said something, Paul, that might not be, I might want to modify that a little bit. It's quite possible that you might never get to the decision maker on the phone. Maybe the person that you're talking to has the authority to set up an appointment himself or herself.
For the decision maker, and you
yes.
might want to just ask that.
Yeah. How many times? I mean, I can remember making that blunder. I can remember making that mistake and saying, you know, I want to talk to so and so, and then after you know doing all that I could, finally the person says, look, I'm in charge of making those appointments. You know, and boy, did I have egg on my face.
And that brings up an interesting point that my father always used to teach me, and that was that, you know, it never hurts just to ask. The worst they could say is no.
Absolutely. So what would that sound like?
If you were to ask somebody to set up an appointment, you
yeah.
know, first
mm-hmm.
obviously you want to try to reach the decision maker, and so and then if they say, well, he's not available, you can immediately segue into saying very simply, well, are you able to set up an appointment because I wanted to talk to him about X, which is mm-hmm. your product or service that you happen to be.
But you know, you said something in the last segment that I think might get you that information. You said that you're just honest with this person.
I always believe in being honest and selling with integrity. I think those are
yeah.
very important. And I always teach people in my programs the value of the relationship always exceeds the value of the transaction.
Right. And if you are honest with this person, this gatekeeper, and you say, you know, what I'm doing right now is I want to set up an appointment with the person you work for or whatever, obviously, hopefully you know their name
yep.
and what they do because you've done some qualifying. And typically, if at that point in time, that person should say, if they're honest with you, they should say, well, that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
What did you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm. And then you just go right for the appointment. Well, I'm going to be in your area next Tuesday at 3. What I'd like to do is stop by and introduce myself and see what you're doing in this particular area.
All right. Now, that I like that one. Because
well, remember, the goal is to get the appointment.
That's right.
You were the one that said it first.
Absolutely. And so the... So you actually gave them a choice. You didn't just say, you know, I want to come by. You actually gave them an opportunity to make a decision, to accept your offer.
Mm-hmm. And I find if you're very specific about it, that's how I like to do it. You
yes.
can either give them, like, multiple choices or one choice. I like to be very specific about it.
I like to give them two choices. I like to use the old alternative, the old multiple choice clothes,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I'm going to be there next Tuesday and Wednesday. Which day would be better for you?
And both of them are equally valid. What I always teach people when you get to these choices, like you can't say that your two choices are better than my one choice, and I can't
right.
say that my one choice is better than your two choices.
Right.
What I always do is I say, you know, make 50 calls using one technique, make 50 calls using a second
Absolutely.
Technique, and see which one works best for you.
Right, no question about it. Another thing that I try to do, Paul, and I don't know what you think about this, whenever I used to sell all week long, when I was carrying a kit bag around for the company I worked for all week long, I would prioritize my prospects.
Prioritizing is the single most important thing that you do, and I talk about that in chapter 4 of the book called Smart Prospecting. And,
mm-hmm.
and when you really think about selling, there's 24 hours in a day. You can't change that. You're not going to work all 24 hours, but basically you're selling into a fixed-time environment. So I always try to teach people that it's the person who uses their time most wisely that's going to sell the most. It's the person who works with the very best prospects that are going to sell the most. So you have to have some method of prioritizing the prospects out there. And it's unfortunate because if you were to do a survey of salespeople worldwide, I'd be willing to bet that more of them start with the lower priority mm-hmm. prospects and a lot less of them start with the higher priority prospects.
Because they think they're going to get the least resistance there, probably.
They think they're going to, but it doesn't quite work that way. Small or less likely prospects kick the tires just as hard as the big ones do.
Yeah, so, and often more. The reason that I like to prioritize, Paul, is because whenever I would be working in an area, I would call the person that I absolutely knew that had the best prospect of doing business with me, and I would get that organization on the phone first.
Yep.
And then I could say this: I'm going to be in your area. I am going to schedule my week around my appointment with you.
Right.
When's the best time? If you'll tell me, I'm going to make everybody else rotate around you.
And can I tell you a little secret?
Go ahead.
You can say that anyhow.
Yeah. I know it. But let me tell you what, though. I've done that too. And guess what? Then they give you a time which you've already taken up.
Mm-hmm.
You've already got an appointment and you're in trouble.
Well, that's why I usually propose a time, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you.
That's a good idea. All right, stand by. We're going to come back and talk about some more famous objections that you're going to get when you're cold calling to make an appointment. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling and the other book, which is his new one, Red Hot Customers. Stand by. We'll be right back. We are back. 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that Noah St. John is going to be with us in the next hour. And Noah is the author of Permission to Succeed. You remember him as the guy who identified the concept of success anorexia. Noah's been with us several times before, and we're going to get him back on the show to talk about his new book, Permission to Succeed. I'm looking forward to that. Right now, though, we're still talking to our good friend Paul Goldner, the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling, and his other book is called Red Hot Customers. Both of them are outstanding books. They're selling very well in the bookstores and online. Paul, give us an 800 number and a website again, please.
Well, the website is www.redhotsales.com, and the toll-free number is 888-HOT-HOT-3.
All right. Sounds good. We're talking about, as we wrap up the hour, Paul, we've been talking to folks about cold calling on the phone primarily to set up an appointment, but it also works for things that you can actually sell over the phone.
Absolutely.
And we're actually talking now about how to handle some objections. And Paul has some of the famous objections in his book here on page 81. Send me literature. We talked about that one. We handle the need for your product or service internally. Now, that's always a killer.
Well, it sounds like it's a killer, but it's really not, because that one is exactly the same as, you know, we're all set with an external competitor. And what I always try to say to that one is, you know, that's great, that's exactly why I called. That usually puts them back in their chair pretty quickly. And then what I say is, what we found is that we can often be an excellent supplement to some of the things that you have in place, either internally or through the external competitor. So it's really easy to overcome that by going the supplemental route.
Right. One of the things that I try to do whenever I get something like that is to say, you know, that's great. Obviously, I didn't presume that you wouldn't have already been doing business with someone along these lines or with whatever I'm selling. But what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is I'd like to set up an appointment to come by and learn a little bit more about your company and let you learn a little bit about my company. And that way, if you should ever need another resource like ours, you will have already gotten that, you would already know who we are.
That's another way to handle it. For everybody listening out there, it's a great assumption. Unless you invented what you do and you have absolutely no competition, when you make a cold call, they already have what you do.
Other than the folks who make Viagra, I'd like to know who that is.
Microsoft might be in that position.
Well, yeah, but not for long. People are creeping up on them very quickly. How about, I'm not the person responsible for this.
That's one that you get all the time, and you simply ask them, who is the person responsible for that? Before you transfer me, can you give me their name and extension in case we get disconnected? You want to really get into the habit of collecting those extensions, and that gives you the opportunity to dial literally 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and always I try to get as much information about the person that you're going to talk to as you can, because this person is going to be able to get you off the phone. They're going to be able to go back to doing whatever they were doing, and a lot of times they don't mind singing for you a little bit there.
No, and with the goal in mind of wanting to get off the phone, and so sometimes they'll horse trade that information just to get you off the phone.
Absolutely. Let's see, how about this one? Now, this is a killer. We do not have the budget for your product or service.
Well, what I always try to teach people to do is, number one, define your target market, know who your real good prospects are, and then given that you happen to be talking to a good prospect, what I would say is, well, that's fine. What I want to do is stop by anyhow, and just this way I could learn about your company and what your needs are, and that way when you do have a budget in place, we'll be ready, willing, and able to serve your needs.
This is where I try to interject a little humor and say something like, well, you're in luck. Today we're giving this away.
that would be a good one.
And they always laugh a little bit, you know, and that kind of loosens things up. Paul, that's got to be the last word. We got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did a great job. Looking forward to having you back.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
All righty.
Paul Goldner, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be back in about 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments of Prospecting. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, never be afraid to try something, because amateurs built the Ark, but professionals built the Titanic. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.